Hi, it's Phil Hendry, and I first of all want to acknowledge the passing of a great guy and a talented guy whose career spanned television and movies and radio. Jerry Doyle has passed on at the age of 60, and I worked with Jerry at TRN and found him always to be a good man, a friendly person. Guy was always working hard on his profession and on his craft, and I'm sorry to hear about Jerry Doyle leaving us. Jerry, thank you so much for your kindness and your respect, and to everybody that knew Jerry and loved Jerry, his family, my condolences. On our program today, you'll hear a variety of character voices performed, and I want you to know that all of those character voices, all of those different voices, will be performed by me. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com presents The Phil Hendry Show. I'm Margaret Gray on The Phil Hendry Show. I guess I'm...
Now you could move on from that.
Yeah, all right. I'll move on from that, General. Thank you. On The Phil Hendry Show...
I'm Bud Dickman.
Excuse me, I'm not done yet. On The Phil Hendry Show, you.
But,
oh, hold on, hold on. On The Phil Hendry Show, you go.
I'm Bud Dickman.
Wait a minute.
What are you doing now, Margaret?
I'm cueing him. You know what that is.
All you gotta do is just say, here's Bud Dickman.
All right, here's Bud Dickman.
Yeah, Bud Dickman, and here is...
God.
And here's Robert Leonard.
I'm Robert Leonard, here's General Galen Shaw.
And this is General Galen Shaw, and here is Phil Hendry. All right, you go.
If you just... Oh, what an ass.
Well, what do you think that means, Margaret?
I'm doing a cue. Do you know what a cue is, though?
Margaret.
No. Now, let's just go through this for a moment. A cue, there are verbal cues, there are visual cues. The visual cue is when I would point to someone. The verbal cue, of course, is I'm Margaret Gray, and now here... In other words, I'm indicating with my voice, here's Bud Dickman. I did that. I heard nothing. I went to option two. I said...
Wait a minute. I heard you. I was about ready to say something.
I heard what he was saying. It sounded to me like he was going
to
go.
Well, it didn't sound that way to me. So I said, all right, I've got to think on my feet. I've got to go to option two. So I said, here is Bud Dickman, you. All right.
That's like that clown that was working with that guy, the disc jockey, Gene Jabel, or whatever the hell that guy was. Remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
No, what is that?
Well, what was there was a show. There was one of our weekend shows. He had a... Was that Kenny Slagg?
Oh, it might have been Kenny Slagg, yeah. In fact, I think it was.
It was Kenny Slagg, and he had an engineer that kept saying, 1, 2, 3, you.
Well, that's... Yes, I think I was inspired by that.
You were inspired by that? That's the dumbest stuff I ever heard in my life.
Well, gee, Robert.
No, it is. I've been an engineer, and I've been a producer for a long time. You don't go, 1, 2, 3, you. Well, I'm... Did it help you? But did it help it?
Now, Robert, just take it easy.
No, did it help you? Not really.
Robert, this is very, very uncharacteristic of you. You giving me the liberal.
Oh, come on. Will it, Margaret, hold on for a minute. 1, 2, 3, you obviously is the way you do it.
It's the way I do it.
All right, now, let me just give you the word, okay?
Oh, great. Here comes Daddy now.
That's right. Here comes Daddy. You want to give a guy a visual cue, you point to him. You want to give him an audio cue, you can say, and now here's Bud Dickman, and just look at him. That ought to be enough of an audio cue for you, Bud.
Well, I mean, certainly that appears to be, but...
So why isn't that enough?
Well, now here's Bud Dickman. What if I'm not looking at her?
It's a verbal cue, you clown and a half.
Yeah, don't you understand a verbal cue?
Well, okay, I know. She goes, and now here's Bud Dickman. I don't know if I got enough...
Bud, don't screw around with it, man, because I know you're messing around. You know what we're talking about, so just do it.
Mr. Hendry...
Just do it, you understand?
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, welcome to this here show. Boy, we have just a wonderful time getting into this thing every day. So, Phil Hendry Show, and we had last night.
What was that about?
Jesus Christ, Henry, it sounded like you were breaking wind. I went like this.
Well, I know, but it sounded gross. I was turning, and I was looking for some lipstick, and when I heard that, I was thinking, oh, Jesus.
Oh, come on. You trying to tell me that sounded like a fart?
I would never use that word, but when I was looking for the lipstick and I heard... Of course, I immediately checked to see if there was something...
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Well, I don't know if I have a muscular problem.
Welcome to our program. As I was saying,
What's wrong? You don't remember?
Mark, would you do me a favor? As I was saying, last night it was the... what's her name?
I'm not going to say.
There's Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton, thank you. Gave the speech. Now, what do you think, General?
I don't know. I'd say, you know, Hillary Clinton is one of these... She's very weird, you know.
I'm not sure whether she's going to be a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know what she's got up her sleeve. I think she's dirty from the day go, you know, from the day go. I mean, from the word one. I mean, from day one, from the word go. That's it. That's what I was looking to say.
You think she's why?
Well, I mean, a lot of people think she is. I think she's all right.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong. I think her speech is pretty good. Talk about equality for people and stuff like that.
Well, the problem with Hillary, you know, I'm a big Hillary supporter.
Right.
And I, by the way, we're going to have Bobby Dooley on here, who is a Donald Trump supporter, and have a little bit of a debate between you and Bobby later on in the program. Yes, that's, you know, ask me if I'm sweating that one.
Are you sweating that one?
No. Hillary Clinton last night, I think, gave a very, very clear speech. And let's be very clear about something. In the clarity of the clearness, you know?
Yeah.
I forgot.
In the clarity of the clearness of the speech,
what she gave, I think we found a Hillary Clinton that we didn't know was there. She's not a subversive type. She's not a woman of ill means. She's not someone who's going to harm anyone. I think she's just misunderstood.
Oh, you give me a break, will you? They're always saying these people are misunderstood.
Well, what has she done? Go ahead, point out to me what she's done that's been clearly illegal.
Well, I mean, what about the Benghazi? And
that was not illegal. It was bad judgment, not illegal. Next.
Wait a minute. You can't...
I said next.
Well, Margaret, okay, look. But Margaret's making a good point here. There's nothing that has been... There's no illegal act that's been proven. There's no indictment. There's no conviction. It's more of a thing where she's just not trusted by people.
I don't trust her as far as I could throw her. She looks like she's got some kind of an oily background. The whole thing's slimy and oily.
Yeah, what do you mean by oily? Think it's got a lot to do with the oil business?
No. That's a figure of speech, you clown. I'm talking about her being not trustworthy. You know?
The trustworthy thing. You know what? I think people are candy asses. I'm going to tell you this.
You calling me a candy ass?
No, I'm not. I'm just going to tell you this. Personally, I think it's like 30 years of people not liking her, and so they're coming up with all kinds of stuff. Look, I'm not a Hillary Clinton fan. I'm just trying to figure out what it is. If the woman is rotten to the core, then why hasn't she been arrested? You know, for something.
Well, what about Richard Nixon? Everyone knew that he was slimy to the core.
Crabby Appleton?
That's right, Phil. Crabby Appleton. I don't have a grasp of these marvelous, mundane, and rather pedestrian phrases as you do. Crabby Appleton, rotten to the core. That was Richard Nixon.
All right, here's the thing about Richard Nixon. Eventually, he was found out, wasn't he?
Exactly, and we were afraid the same thing is going to happen with a Hillary Clinton. I'm not, but I think we are.
What does that mean, you're not, but we are? Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
Well, what are you asking me?
Why did you say, I'm not, but we are?
I'm not in the sense of me, I, Margaret Gray, but we are in the sense we, me, you, me, are. See?
We, me, you, me, are.
General, I'm at the end of my rope this week.
All right, I don't want anybody getting flipped out or anything, okay? It's all just a nice, chill thing. Take it easy, okay?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it was Jerry all beatnik and everything. I'm just saying, I don't, you know, this is a Friday, man. What's the point? What's everybody getting nuts about?
I don't like people looking at me like I flipped my lid or something.
I'm not saying you flipped your lid. Ah, forget it. I'll wait for you and that Dooley broad to get into it.
Hey, let's watch the broad talk, okay? Because, you know, I don't need any lawsuits at this point.
Yeah, don't call me a broad or I'll slap you with a sexual harassment suit so fast your head will spin right off of your shoulders and just go, wee! Speaking of that, by the way, did you hear about Donald Trump?
Yeah, he said he was going to hit some people, so what?
He was just, you know, it was a figure of speech. It was satire.
What is with you all of a sudden, satire?
I think what he meant by hit, verbally hit. I don't really think he meant physically hit.
Are you kidding me, Phil? That lying dog...
Wait. Hey, I don't want to watch any more of these commercials, bud.
What?
These cruelty to animal shots. I hate these. Oh, sorry, but it was on CNN. It was doing it. It was on CNN. It was doing it. Yeah, I don't want to see any more of these things. They're making me sick, and they do not make me get it off of there.
God. Come on, man, use it.
Get it out of here. They don't make me, I just want you guys to know there at the Humane Society or whoever you people are, I don't donate money based upon these commercials. I do not, okay? I feel manipulated enough. I have already donated money to the ASPCA. I became one of their lifetime members, whatever the hell, what was that?
You gave them the $500, huh?
I think I've given a lot more money to the ASPCA than that. But I cannot... I will not donate. I haven't donated a dime since because of these commercials. I donate money to animal shelters based upon their need,
But these commercials, these emotionally manipulative commercials showing animals being abused, you might as well you save your space and save your breath with me, Jack, because they are not getting the job done. IR Phil Hendry. Okay, let's go to Bob Bakey now with the traffic out there, Bob.
I totally get that freeway here now. The mile of 10 and this morning here. You're right into downtown, you see, and put on a camera. Put those handlebar mustache on, too. Yes, you're right here. Hey, coming up tonight at Channel 15, we're going to have the 5-10 trail, the great time movie of Break Time. I'm going to have that freight train, choo-choo. Yeah, it's going to rain down the Channel 5 movie at 11 o'clock tonight at Rin Tin Tin. Right there in Rin Tin Tin Theater. That Rin Tin Tin Theater. Let's go, Sky Boy.
I'm going to be on this side down here. Let's have time on the 4-5 green by the big damn team. Look at that. There's kind of slow runs. Look like it'll be slow going. You're feeling in this morning. It's having a great time. And then we're going to love the sun. Come on. Let's go to boy. It's going to be the sweet pin. I do what the girl do. I do what the girl do. I do what the girl do. Look at what the girl do. I do 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 what the girl do. Uncle Steve, I do what the
girl do. Uncle Remus. Yeah. 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 Bluebird on my shoulder.
It's Wormshire's, the meat for you. It's Wormshire's Bologna and Spaghetti's. Wormshire's Bologna and Spaghetti's lunches and Wormshire's Bologna and Linguini dinners are an interesting combination of slaughtered beef and linguinis and spaghetti's. That's right, Wormshire's puts together marvelous lunches and breakfasts. It's a Wormshire's, your meat. Wormshire's meats are luncheon, breakfast, and dinner, and they come fully packed and loaded for your protection. Wormshire's meats also feature the Lebanese bologna and the Mediterranean hams. You'll love their thin ham. And now, Wormshire's is putting together a ham package. For only $59.95, the full package of ham, lean hams, light ham, worm ham, Wormshire ham, and the ham with no name. Wormshire's meat. Wormshire's meats. 5151 Clown Town in Spaghettiville. I've crisscrossed the country. I'll tell you something right now. I haven't found anything like this. Rick's Blades. Rick's Blades. These are blades that will shave your face, shave the nose hairs, shave those ear hairs, even shave those pubes. Hey, if you want to go all bald, you want to go cue bald? Cue bald today. That's right. Rick's Blades. Rick's Blades are only 2 inches long, 1 inch high, little teeny tiny little handles on them, and it'll shave your face so clean, so slick. Man, you'll forget that it takes 5 days to use these blades. Consider this. These blades take 5 days to shave your entire body, but they are so sharp that they never dull. Never, ever, ever, ever really dull. And by that we mean they take about, 6 months to dull. Rick's Blades. They come in 5 handy packs. Gold, Goldette, and Brown. These are the 5 handy packs. Gold, Goldette, and Brown. Send away for Rick's Blades right now. Here's the address. 6222 South Merton Street in Denver, Colorado. Rick's Blades. I gotta tell you, I've been all over this world. I've used all kinds of blades. I've used all kinds of shaving cream, all kinds of lotion. I've cue-balled myself every which way but loose. Man, I've slicked it up one side and down the next. I found men attracted to me, women attracted me. I tell you right now, I can't even go into it. And Rick's Blades are the ones that shave me close, shave me slick, shave me sweet, and keep me shaved for 6 months or my money back. Rick's Blades. They're only 2 inches long, but they're all blade. Rick's Blades.
Can you lend me your ears?
Yeah!
I have something to say.
World famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Now we have Kaylee McEnany. We've been promising to get Kaylee McEnany on this program, and here she is from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Now, Kaylee is a Trump supporter, or I should say Trump surrogate. Kaylee, what is the difference?
A Trump surrogate is basically someone who Trump puts his words into their mouth, and they just yap, 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 just the way Trump wants them to. And
that's what you do, right?
Yeah, that's basically what I do. Me, Jeffrey Lord, there's a few others. That Boris Ass, I don't know his name.
Now, Kaylee, people should know that you're a young, slender, blonde female, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Why would he ask?
Oh, I don't know. People might just get a little bit confused by you have a very manly-sounding voice.
I don't know. I work very hard at my femininity, but I... Okay.
But you're a very lovely young lady, but here's the point.
I don't need that kind of talk. I'm the person that you are hearing here, the person you see on TV, I'm my own woman. I'm my own woman.
All right. Let me ask you, does Donald Trump get on the phone with you every day and tell you what to say?
Yeah, pretty much. If you says Trump surrogate, then I say whatever he wants me to say. So it's impossible. It's impossible. Okay, a lot of people have asked this. Well, can a Trump surrogate, if it says Trump surrogate, a Trump supporter, are you really going to get an objective report from that person? And the answer is no, okay?
And then why is that?
Well, it's impossible, because if Trump is paying me to be his surrogate, meaning if he's not dead, then I'm there. And if Trump's paying me to be his surrogate, then I'm going to do what he wants me to do. I'm not going to sit there and run my guts all over my shoes because it's making me feel good.
All right, so how is that done? Do you have a meeting with him every day?
Yeah, we get on the phone with Donald Trump every morning about 9:30. Me, Lord, like I said, that Boris guy, I forget his name, a few other people that I forget, but so we get on the phone and he tells us what to say. He tells us, you know.
Can I jump in here?
Yeah, go ahead. This is Phil Henry.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, how you doing, Kaylee? How are you?
Hi, Phil.
I'm sorry. I guess I was redundant.
Yeah, a little redundant, so I thought I'd be redundant back.
Okay. Donald Trump, that's a little on the smart-ass side, isn't it?
I'm sorry?
This is Margaret Gray. I think that's a little bit on the smart-ass side, isn't it?
No, it is not, because I have a...
Well, I think it is, and that's all that needs to be said.
Excuse me, but...
Wait. What are you with the opinions all of a sudden? I thought you were a Trump surrogate.
Oh, that's right. I don't have any yet.
You don't have opinions of your own.
You're right. I should call Mr. Trump, though, and find out what he would think of a woman interrupting him.
Do you have to call him?
As a matter of fact, no, I don't. So, hey, you shut up. At least that's what he would say.
All right, fine. I will take that as I've been duly chastised by Donald Trump through you, Kaylee McEnany.
Yeah.
All right, so my question for you, Kaylee, is this. Do you ever feel, and excuse me for saying this, like a... Let's just put it this way, like a mouthpiece... Like, you don't have any opinions of your own?
I got opinions of my own, but look, here's how it works. When I get on TV and I am a Trump surrogate, I make it sound like these are my opinions, even though they're Mr. Trump's opinions. Now, if I don't like one of the opinions that Mr. Trump has, and I want to, you know, give my own opinion, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to really work harder at making it sound like that opinion is mine.
Give me an example. Has there ever been a time when you had to defend Mr. Trump or you had to speak as him when he had done something absolutely odious, vile, and disgusting?
Well, I mean, there was the time that he made fun of the cripple, not the cripple, but the...
The disabled gentleman?
I'm sorry?
Talk about a disabled man.
Yeah, the disabled man, right. He made fun of that guy. And the next day, they had me on CNN, and they said, okay, well, what do you think? And I had to speak as Mr. Trump, so I said, you know, he's faking it. He ain't that crippled, whatever I said. And
you didn't say that. Don't tell me you said that.
Didn't say what?
He's faking it. He ain't that crippled.
Well, whatever I said. I don't know what I said, but it was basically...
You were trying to make it sound like it was no big deal, is that it?
Well, not so much no big deal, but I think what I said was, you know, that guy, one guy who's disabled, I think he had something like Lou Gehrig's disease or something where his arms are all squished up, and I said, what's he doing on television anyway? He shouldn't even be there. Of course Mr. Trump is going to make fun of him because it's shocking. It's very shocking to those of us that have the use of our limbs to see some guy, you know, walking around like a praying mantis. And, you know, it's...
That's what white people have problems with Trump, okay? Because his thought...
Wait, it wasn't Trump, it was me.
Well, what do you mean it wasn't Trump, it was you?
I mean, it was Trump. But if anything is said that is offensive or is cruel, or then they can blame the surrogate. Well, I didn't really hear him say it. I heard Kaylee McEnany say it.
Well, I don't know what that means.
It means that even if it's a cruel statement that comes from Mr. Trump, it is buffered a little bit because it comes through me, you know. And that's just it.
So do you take responsibility for saying that?
No, I don't take responsibility for it. But as I said, if I'm on television and I'm saying with Mr. Crap, boy, now I'm going to get in trouble.
His name's Mr. Trump, in case you forgot who you're working for.
I know who it is. When Mr. Trump says, you know, here's my official position.
Do you remember the meeting you had that day?
The meeting that I had with Mr. Trump?
Yeah.
But
what was said?
Well, it was a phone call. He said, okay, here's how we're going to deal with the guy whose arms were wiggling around the way I said, you'll just say, hey, you know, Mr. Trump says that guy shouldn't be seen in public because he creeps people out. All right, so I go back to CNN.
That's how he said that.
Yes, Mr. Henry, that's how he said. What do you want me to do, man? Go back and rewrite the way the guy says things.
Well, it's just very shocking.
I'm sure that it is. So I went back on CNN, if I can...
Go ahead.
Make my point. I went back on CNN, I said, Mr. Trump thinks that that guy should not be seen in public because he's shocking to look at. And everybody jumped on me and they went crazy. And I said, well, you know, I don't feel that way, but that's the way Trump thinks. Now, that was a big mistake, because when I got back to the office, Trump's on the phone, jumping up and down, screaming like a banshee. How dare I? This, that, something else. And I said, I did the best I could, but it was going to be between me and you. You know, and he said, well, you know, I could fire you. I said, go ahead. I don't give a hot. I mean, I got other things I can do.
Are you a Donald Trump fan?
Am I a Donald Trump fan?
Well, are you going to vote for this guy?
Yeah, I'm going to vote for him.
All right, so you are going to vote for him despite these attitudes.
Look, I'm going to vote for him because I believe when he jumped up and down and was screaming at me like a banshee and said, wow, you made me look like an asshole, all this stuff, I said, well, you are an asshole. And he said, how dare you? You know, he's jumping it.
You're talking to him like that.
Yeah, I'm talking to him. Look, he appreciates straight talk. There's no question.
You're not sure. You told Donald Trump that he's an a-hole. Yeah, right.
Hey, let me tell you something. No one tells me, Kayleigh McEnany, what to do. So I said to him, go ahead and fire me. I don't care. He said, shut up. And he starts to cry and all this bullshit. And,
oh, you're full of crap. He didn't cry.
Well, it sounded like. And he finally said, okay, all right. You know, you did good. And that was it. And then the next day. So he never brought it up again to me, and I've not embarrassed him.
All right, we're talking to Kayleigh McEnany. Or, I'm sorry, it's Kayleigh.
Kayleigh McEnany.
Kayleigh McEnany, who is the surrogate for Donald Trump and goes on all the TV shows. I've heard of these surrogates, and you're not the only one. Ted Cruz had one.
Tom Cruise.
Ted Cruz.
Yeah, but you were going to say Tom.
Who gives a hot holy there, McEnany? Just you stick to your own knitting, okay? So, yeah, Ted Cruz has them. I forget who else. Jeb Bush had them, people like that. I'd never heard of a surrogate before, but here's the thing. You're surrounded by objective reporters, and you're a surrogate. You can't really be objective.
Well, yes, I can. I mean, I told you that I get, you know, questions sometimes. I can't hold back. Like when a guy says to me, how would he think about that, the guy that had the Lou Gehrig's disease flopping his arms all around and going, rah, rah, rah. And I know what Mr. Trump told me to say. He said, just shake your arms and look like an ass. And I said, I can't do that. And that's when he said, how dare you talk to me, Donald Trump? I said, stick it up your ass. Excuse me for saying it that way.
No. That's you. If you're telling me the truth, which I don't think he is.
He?
I'm sorry. I don't think she is.
Thank you. You know, I'm going to be married in a couple of weeks. A beautiful guy. And I just happen to have. So anyway.
You just happen to have the voice of a stevedore.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, I.
Yeah, right.
I forgot what I was going
to
say.
Well, all right. So you're talking about being a surrogate and telling Trump to stick it up his ass.
Right. Yeah. So I told him to stick it up his ass, but I haven't encountered anything like that since. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that because most of the opinions what Mr. Trump has, I'm okay with. You know.
All right. I suppose like we could bring up a bunch. Like for instance, he said he wanted to hit people. What about that?
Oh, that's a very recent one, yes. He said he'd like to hit some of the people that were disparaging him at the Democratic Convention.
Well, I would say that I haven't had a meeting with him on this, so I wouldn't know, you know, what to say.
Well, can you sort of theorize?
Well, I would imagine he'd say, get in there and say that I didn't mean the word hit as in I'm going to physically slug him. I meant I'm going to hit him, you know, with a big statement, a big like the little tiny guy. I don't know who he's talking about. Do you know?
No, I don't. Yeah, I've been trying to think of who the small guy is.
Yeah, he said the little guy. But I want to hit that guy till his head spins. So I'd simply say that Mr. Trump, in his inimitable way, wants to say, you know, really hit the guy with a put down, like you little tiny midget. You know, you're a dirty, crawling midget. You know, you're not physically assaulting him, but you're getting him real good with a real insult.
All right, so, you know, this is what the Democrats have been talking about, and
well, now you're going to ask me my opinion.
Well, that's what I mean. That was the statement. Everybody else is objective, and you're giving these. You're a mouthpiece.
Everybody else is objective. I wouldn't say that, but I would say that yeah, it is very tough to sit there and listen to real people talk about real things, and I'm just sitting here a guy just ba 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 ba. I'm like a mouth with two legs, and.
And there you go. You called yourself a guy when you're actually a woman. Well, Kayleigh, thank you. The best of luck, and congratulations on your impending marriage.
Thank you very much. He's a great guy.
What does he do?
He's an operative, a political operative, and he's also a writer for a newspaper. What's so funny?
Nothing. Congratulations. Tell him, give him our very best.
I will. He's the top-notch guy.
Kaylee McEnany of the Donald Trump...
You know what? I that whole thing...
What?
I don't think it was funny.
Don't tell me what you think is funny or not, okay? Just keep... Stay within character here. Stay within the lines.
Yeah, but you know...
That's keep with it. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Tell me what's funny.
I'll give you some. You never tweet, you never read. All you do is cry and sleep. You drink a shit.
This is the world famous Phil... What is this? This sounds like... What the hell is this? Some kind of a San Francisco deal or something?
World famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. We'll be right back. This is Dan Howell. And this is a bit of hip-hop. I think it's gay hip-hop.
Then chins on your neck. On your birthday, you joked you were a quarter way to death. 100, yeah. When getting out of bed makes you out of...
Things you've never seen before can be yours. Things you've never seen before can be yours. Things you've never seen before can be yours. Things you've never...
Are your eyeglasses wearing out? Are you able to see 5 feet in front of you? Dr. William Penske here for William Penske's Eyeglasses from Heaven. These glasses will help you see crystal clear no matter where you are, what time of day or night. Just put them on and for the first time in your life, see. You've got eyes. You've got eyes in the front of your head and eyes in the back of your head, too. Because of this Reflectomat. It was developed by me, Dr. William Penske. The Reflectomat not only reflects what's ahead of you, but what's behind you. So you've got eyes in the back of your head with Dr. William Penske's Eyeglasses from Heaven. These eyeglasses usually retail for $59.99, but now I'll give them to you for only $16, or if you'd like $6, or if you'd like 60 cents. We're not going to make any money that way. Dr. Penske's Eyeglasses to Heaven. These glasses will help you see beautifully for the very first time in your life, so you won't look like a four-eyed slob walking around and bumping into things. Dr. William Penske says, eyes in the back of your head with William Penske's Eyeglasses to Heaven.
William Penske's Eyeglasses to Heaven, available now at Sherbury's and at Laconica gas stations and at Donnie Meyer Furniture.
Metrosexual, a film by Don Crisco. Metrosexual takes you deep into the bowels of the metrosexual lifestyle. Straight men wearing tight slacks, oiled hair, and a shimmering look. Metrosexual. What was it like in the late 1990s to be metrosexual? This historical drama and documentary can be seen for the first time at the Bergerson Theater downtown. Bring your coupon from your box of Kentucky Fried Antelope to the Bergerson Theater downtown to see Metrosexual. Or you can bring your coupon from Bosco's Ribs. You'll also find a coupon good for one free soft drink and a box of popcorn. Metrosexual at the downtown Bergerson Theater.
All right, welcome back, Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com. Dr. Jim Sadler was on our show yesterday, and I'm not sure that we gave him. We did indicate that we would bring him back because I'm not sure we gave him the amount of time that it was, you know, that was fair to him. And because the topic that we were discussing was one of some, I would say, significant import. It involves some legalities. It's a very bizarre story. Dr. Jim Sadler in San Diego. Dr. Sadler, welcome back. We're very happy that you've taken the opportunity to be with us.
Thank you again, Phil, for the opportunity to be on that.
All right. So as we left it yesterday, you were on the research vessel, the Nautilus submarine, and this is a submarine that is for undersea research purposes. You were with a group of marine biologists from a variety of institutions in Southern California.
That is correct, yes.
And you were in the Santa Barbara Channel, which is, we noted yesterday, is very close to our studios here, and you were studying some kind of a blue mollusk, a new discovery there on the seabed.
Correct. This is a blue mollusk that we feel it could be significant to a form of life that is yet to be seen at these depths. We're very aware of unusual invertebrate life, but had not seen this.
All right. You were not allowed to get on the Nautilus, though, even though the voyages have continued. But you were not on this ship. You were not on this boat because of the blue mollusk discovery. You were on it 6 months earlier.
That is correct. I was not, I was on your program, see. God damn it.
Well, Phil. Hey, look, Dr. Sadler.
God damn it. You fucked it up again. I told you.
All right, put him on hold. Now, what is this guy's problem?
He wants to have a thing laid out symmetrically and logically.
What do you mean symmetrically and logically? Get that idiot. I'll talk to this guy. Get him on the phone.
Hey, hold on for a minute. Now,
no, let me... Hey, Senator, this is General Shaw.
I'm sorry?
This is General Galen Shaw.
Yeah?
Look, Senator, we're trying to work with you on this thing. Now, you said that you were out...
Oh, you're trying to work with me? Well, then don't bring up the fact I wasn't on the Nautilus. I was describing the blue mollusk.
We know, but this isn't about that. This is about your hand grabbing some woman on the...
All right, but I... Oh, my God, I wanted to talk about the blue mollusk. You said you were going to have me back on to talk about the blue mollusk.
Yeah, we were, but we also wanted to talk about you. You got thrown off this thing permanently. That was your whole point.
I know, but I thought you were going to bring me back on and not talk about that and just talk about the blue mollusk.
I can't take it anymore. Would you just let me talk to him for a minute? Hello. Let me talk. Hold on.
Margaret, we're on the air.
I know. Just a second, but... Hello, Dr. Sadler. Yes, Margaret Gray. What happened? You had your hand on the seat before the Nautilus went out here on the channel. Now, you were there up the peninsula. Your hand is on the seat. The girl's... She sits down on your hand. Right. You gave it an involuntary squeeze, and then you looked over at her All right. We can bring him on right now, because a lot of this is... A lot of it was confusing.
All right, I'll talk to you, Ms. Gray, but I don't want to talk to anybody else.
That's fine.
I said I don't... I'm just going to pretend like I didn't hear you.
All right, that's fine. This is Margaret.
Yes.
Now, your hand was on the seat. The girl sat down. You didn't know your hand was there. Your arm had been bothering you, so you had your hand resting on the seat.
That is correct, and I felt like if I relaxed the tendons, that... See, I have a neck problem that goes right down the right arm, so I was relaxing, and she sat down. As soon as her bottom touched my hand, I involuntarily squeezed, and that's when she said that I was sexually harassing her. No, I was not. It was an involuntary action based upon what would be a normal thing, you know, for a man's hand to do.
Now, what was the other involuntary? You said there was another involuntary action.
I looked over and smiled. Now...
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Okay, thank you.
You can't hang up.
Fuck!
All right, let's watch the language. You know you can't hang up. Let's just talk to me. Stay with me on this one.
All right.
Just stay with me. Just you and me.
Jesus, you know you are an idiot.
Stay with me. Don't listen to them.
You're an ass.
You're an ass.
Shut up, you guys.
Just stay with me, Dr. Sadler. Are you there?
Yeah, I am.
All right, you gave an involuntary look to the right.
I looked over to the right, and I went, huh. Now, that was a very, very involuntary action. I've talked to 5 psychiatrists. I've been interviewed by 6 psychologists for the court. My own defense attorney brought in 5 psychiatrists, and I've undergone hypnosis, and I've also undergone a very, very light, very, very light electroshock to try to get to the bottom of it. I found out from Dr. Cougar, Dr. P.L. Cougar, C-O-U-G-A, G-A.
All right, Cougar.
Right. Dr. P.L. Cougar, his middle name is Xavier, P.L. Xavier Cougar. They oftentimes, you're right, call, I know what you're thinking.
Call him Dr. Cougar.
I'm not talking to you, man.
Just stay with me, it's me.
They call him Xavier Cougar.
All right, you mean like the old South American musician?
Right, because he plays drums, he relaxes and plays the timbales. So I talked with Dr. Cougar, and he said this is entirely normal. If a woman accidentally sits on your hand will involuntarily squeeze, you know, the ass, not the ass, they use the more technical, like a medical term.
No, like a buttock.
They don't know, they don't say it. Is that... I told you, I'm not talking to them.
Robert, please. The buttocks?
No.
Well, it is a medically acceptable term.
That is correct. And then what happened was also something very normal. I turned... She was sitting to my right, so I looked to my right. I smiled, and I went, hoo-hoo. That's exactly what I said. And the reason why I do that, the way I do it, the way I accurately depict it, is because it sounds creepy, and a lot of women is creeped out by it. But Dr. Cougar... told me it's normal.
Well, I can tell you as a woman, it does sound very disquieting.
I know. I can well imagine. But it's nothing that the man has any control over. He simply will feel the butt. I don't know.
Just use the words that are comfortable.
All right. A man will be sitting there minding his own business. His hand is on his seat. The butt sits on the hand. You squeeze, then you look and go, hoo-hoo. And that is all involuntary, caused by the involuntary muscle reaction.
Man, what a load. That is the biggest load of horse shit I ever heard.
No, no, don't listen to them.
This is getting very tough.
Don't listen to them. Stay with me on this one.
Guys, why don't you be quiet?
I don't want to talk to none of the guys.
It's all right. You're not talking to them. You're talking to me.
Bullshit.
Hey, guys, just be quiet, all right?
You can't hang up. You know you can't.
All right, now look, I'm not enough of this nonsense. I'm going to jump in here, Jim, and I'm going to talk to you.
I want to pretend to hang up.
Go ahead.
Fuck! All right, I'm back.
Good. Now, you're telling me the doctor said to you...
You're being very stern with me, and Ms. Gray was a lot nicer.
All right, you just remember that I'm here.
Go ahead.
What a baby, man. I mean, this is a very serious charge.
I was going to be talking about a blue mollusk in the Santa Barbara Channel, and you got me, guys. You got me, guy. Me, guy, you get... You got me. Me got me, goo.
What a guy sounds like an infant, like his mind has gone infant.
You got me, goo.
I got you talking about something that's very important, which is the fact you've been accused of sexual harassment with your hand on the seat. She sits down, you squeeze her ass, you look at her and go, hoo-hoo, and you're thinking this is all normal.
No, I didn't say it's normal, but the doctor said it's an involuntary reaction of the musculature when a woman sits on your hand and all you fear is her ass. And
what do you mean? You mean you feel her ass?
No, you fear her ass. That's what causes it. See, that's what I was trying to tell you, but you wouldn't let me say it, because you're butting in.
What are you saying now?
I told you, but you wouldn't let me say it.
You're saying it because you fear her ass.
What kind of bullshit is this, Doc?
It's not.
Would you guys let me do this, please? Now, what do you mean you fear her ass?
When the ass sat on my hand, and I felt the ass, because the ass is seen separate in my mind, you see. In my mind, when the ass hit my hand, all it was an ass, and I didn't see it as being connected to a woman. And so I was afraid of it, and my hand closed and clutched it, as if to clutch it in a fight to try to kill it, although I wasn't trying to do that either. And then I looked and I went, Now I know that sounds weird, and I know that it...
Well, it certainly does sound weird, but how does the hoo-hoo, as you put it, indicate fear?
I was trying to... I don't know. Maybe scare it or something.
I'll take it from here, Margaret.
Well, Phil,
I'll take it from here, Margaret.
Mr. Henry, Ms. Gray was being nice to me.
Ms. Gray was being nice to you. I'll say this. I'll let you go, Dr. Sadler. Good luck with this one, man. I don't know what your attorney's cooking up, but this is the goofiest. This will never stand.
Don't kid me about fear of the ass.
That is exactly... Let me tell you something. Dr. Kuga has done a series of papers on this. And he is going to be presenting next week at the National Association of the Psych Head Shrinkers. What do they call that? The
psychiatrists.
Right. Now,
you know, you're a doctor and you don't know these things. Every time I have you on the program.
Phil, we've been all through this before. I told you, I'm very informal, and I learned that from the informal school. But next month at the National Association, or whatever the hell it's called, the psychiatrist, he's going to present a paper on ass fear. You'll see. Don't worry about it.
Well, I think it's worth a chance.
No, it's not worth it. You're trying to make a chimp, you're trying to make a chimp and a chump out of me. That would be a champ, right?
Right. That's probably that.
And that's what you're doing.
No, I am not. No, I am not. No way. Woo. No way, Jose. No way, Jose. No, this is the straight shit. And this is the...
Thank you.
So what do you think?
What do I think? Here's what I think. I think he got caught. And he's come up with a really wild, goofy, crazy explanation that he thinks is going to play publicly. He's gone to the press with it. Margaret, I love you, and you know, but you're buying it.
I didn't say I bought it. I wanted the man to have the opportunity to tell his story.
Yeah, it's great. You're far too accommodating for a lot of the weirdo.
No, I got to agree with that.
No, I'm not. I know these guys like out of the back of my hand. These creeps and weirdos, all of these weird asses, these bugaboos, freaks, backseat men, I know them all. I've been through it. Let me tell you what, the guys with the cameras on a Friday night and a $20 bill, I've got it all down. And this guy here, this Sadler, sounds like he's fractured and really ought to be tossed away.
Well, so what?
So I think it's worth looking at.
I don't know what you just said.
I'm telling you the man, he might need help, is what I'm saying.
Right. All right.
What do you mean, right? You're acting like I don't know what I'm saying.
You just said he's fractured, not to be tossed away. It's worth being looked at.
Exactly.
We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
God damn, man.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California.
Yeah!
Tag my day wear, and your girl drank my daycare, and I'm born rich. Life ain't fair.
All right, it's the world famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Anybody else have anything they want to report on?
Don't forget about the chat tonight.
Now, we want to get as many people there as we possibly can for our chat because it just ain't, you know, no chat is worth the chat unless you're there. We got a whole lot of brand spanking new people who have become Backstage Pass members. So we want to see all you guys there, all right? That is the world-famous Phil Henry Show Backstage Pass chat. And it starts at 9 o'clock every Friday night right here on our website. It's Pacific time, right? Yeah, it's Pacific time.
Yeah, by 9 o'clock Pacific, that's midnight on the East Coast.
Get a lot of people from all over the country checking in with us, so we'd like to see you with us there as well. That's tonight at 9 on the website right here, our Backstage Pass chat. And we're going to be talking about HendryCon. Yeah, there's a plan to get everybody together for a HendryCon. Now, a reminder, on August the 5th, that's in 1 week, man. We're going to be at the Hollywood Improv for another Phil Henry and Friends. The Hollywood Improv in the lab there, 8 o'clock Friday night, August 5th. See you there.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California, executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.